I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is April 26, 2009. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's subject, taken from the website of the Skeptic Dictionary, tachyons. A tachyon is a theoretical particle or wave which travels faster than the speed of light. Tachyons exist in a theoretical world where objects have negative mass and time goes backwards. Tachyon energy is used to scan subspace, among other things, on the sci-fi fantasy program Star Trek Voyager. So far, there is no empirical evidence for the existence of tachyons. If they do exist, tachyons would be extremely difficult to utilize under our current understanding of physics. Despite being theoretical, and if real, difficult to utilize, and if utilized, of unknown value, tachyons are the main ingredient in a feature line of New Age products that range from beads, belts, shoe inserts, sweatbands, power pillows, massage oils, and vials of tachyon water. And of course, there are books, such as Tachyon Energy, A New Paradigm in Holistic Healing by Gabriel Cousins and David Wagner. A few enterprising New Agers claim that they know tachyons exist and they have harnessed its power. For example, Fred Pulver, who runs the Carbondale Center for Macrobiotic Studies, claims to know that the tachyon field supplies the energy needs of all living organisms until balance is achieved. Then it eases until called upon again. As it is needed and a depletion occurs, it rushes in until balance is achieved once again. But just in case nature fails to keep you in tachyon balance, you can get all the tachyon power you need from one of Biotech's Swell Tachyonic products. Pulver makes some incredible claims. For example, motors have been built which draw upon the tachyon field for energy. They exhibit strange behavior, such as increasing in speed the longer they run, even though they are connected to no visible power source. Where are these motors? No one has seen them, but we are to take it on faith that they exist. Perhaps they are in the vehicles bringing all those UFOs to Earth for the cattle mutilations and reproductive experiments. Another claim, tachyonic products with their aligned atomic polarities enhance the body's natural ability to draw from the tachyon field for its energy needs. Athletes have discovered that tachyonic products allow them to perform faster and longer and shorten recovery time. As conduits for input from the tachyon field, tachyonic products are proving themselves in the sports performance arena. Who are these athletes? The same ones who wear magnetic shoes and wear crystals to ward off bad energy. What is the tachyon field? The tachyon field is extremely dense. This density cannot be measured because it is a negative state, mirroring the universe of positive density, which we inhabit. The theory of negative density is supported by an observable phenomenon, a perpetually expanding physical universe which is brought into being through pressure exerted by expansion of the invisible one. Pressure exerted by the tachyon field upon our physical universe indicates the existence of an invisible, highly dense universe, the tachyon field. The tachyon field may be dense, but it would have to go a long way to match the density of an alternative physicist who finds this stuff compelling. There seems to be something missing here, such as a fundamental grasp of reality. We are asked to believe in an invisible universe causing pressure on ours, thereby forming energy which cannot be proven by instrumentation currently available, but which we can use to explain just about anything we want. But wait, there's more. Tachyon theory is holistic because it accepts the notion of two interdependent universes which are actually indivisible. the visible sublight speed universe and an invisible faster than light one. Tachyon theory also substantiates omnipresence, a purely metaphysical concept. God is omnipresent, which means simultaneously existing everywhere. Omnipresent existence can only occur at faster than light speeds, since slower than light travel takes time to cross space. Therefore, omnipresence can only be an attribute of a tachyon universe where time and space are uniform. Pulver is also an alternative metaphysician. The speculation seems infinite. The nervous system and brain are nothing but an extremely sophisticated antenna and receiver to absorb, process, and transform the resources of the tachyon field. Healers have learned to access the tachyon field's resources for its healing powers more successfully than the average person has. All the above claims are by way of introduction by their author to the line of tachyonic products he has for sale. New Age energy is especially marketable in alternative health care, where the products make us healthy and happy are as boundless as the imagination, as endless as New Age energy itself. There are tachyonic beads, which are said to have antennae, which focus the beneficial tachyon energy. There is a tachyon belt, which is said to help improve circulation and increase strength. Tachyonic water comes in a small vial and is pure and cluster-free. Another new business, Advanced Tachyon Technologies, AT&T, of Santa Rosa, California, offers a much broader array of products, including some for cats and dogs. AT&T has products which can enhance your love life, including one called Panther Juice, and your athletic skills. Not that the two are mutually exclusive. They have products to ease your pain and improve your brain. They have chakra balancing kits for those who would like a little tachyonic boost to their meditation. You can also purchase a personal tachyonized cocoon or a tachyonized silk meditation wrap to use while meditating with your lover before making love. And not a moment too soon, we move to the science segment. This from March 5th, 2009, the Kepler mission to hunt for planets just our size. The United States is scheduled to launch on Friday an orbiting telescope designed to help answer one of the oldest and deepest questions of astronomy. Are we alone in the galaxy? The Kepler spacecraft will stare at a patch of sky, the same 100,000 stars near the northern constellation Cygnus, all at once, for at least 3.5 years. The goal is to detect Earth-like planets orbiting their host stars at distances thought to be sweet spots for life. Dubbed habitable zones, these are orbits where a planet is bathed in light that is strong enough to permit liquid water to collect and remain in a persistent feature of the planet's surface. If all goes well, Kepler's journey will start with the launch from Cape Canaveral in Florida at around 10:50 Eastern Time. For planet-hunting astronomers, the $591 million Kepler mission promises to cross what they've dubbed the Great Divide that separates the decidedly uninhabitable planets they have found so far with the Earth-like ones they seek. During the past 15 years, ground-based telescopes have detected more than 300 so-called exoplanets, planets that are beyond our solar system. But these discoveries have involved a bizarre menagerie of objects ranging in size from 10 times Jupiter's mass to nearly Earth-scale planets. They often follow highly elliptical orbital paths, subjecting them to enormous temperature swings. Some are more dense than lead. Others would float like foam on water. Some orbit so close to their host stars that 1 year in those planets is less than one Earth day. The ultimate goal, however, is to someday take a picture of a pale blue dot orbiting a nearby star. To decide how to do that in the most efficient and cost-effective way, it's vital to know how many of these planets are likely to be out there for a given number of stars. The frequency with which Earth-like planets are found will be a key driver for future planet-hunting missions. And if Kepler finds only a tiny handful of such planets in habitable zones, that would be another profound discovery. It will mean that Earths must be very rare. We may be the only extant life, at least in our galaxy. Even if Kepler detects few Earth-like worlds in Earth-like orbits, the number of other planets it finds is likely to explode. Some solar system experts would be content to give up the prospect of alien life forms for an alien geology and chemistry. The pressure at the center of the Earth is some 3.5 million times higher than the atmospheric pressure at the surface, but Jupiter's core is squeezed to some 70 million higher. At these pressures, helium is no longer a gas incapable of carrying electricity. It's a fluid metal that has no problem conducting electricity. On some of the larger exoplanets, pressures at the cores are estimated to reach billions of times Earth's surface pressure. By the time you get to billion atmosphere pressures, it's not just the chemical bonds between atoms that change. Atoms themselves are crushed. This is a regime of a new kind of chemistry. The one-ton Kepler Observatory boasts a 1.4-meter, that is 4.5-foot, diameter mirror and a push-the-envelope camera. A typical digital camera has roughly 8 million to 10 million individual picture elements. Kepler's camera boasts 95 million pixels. The camera won't take pictures of the stars it monitors, however. Instead, it will measure changes in starlight as an orbiting planet slips in front of its host star. It's a tough measurement to take, similar to measuring the dimming effect of a flea passing in front of a car's headlight. The amount of dimming yields the planet's radius. The elapsed time between each dimming episode yields its orbital period. From this data and from a knowledge of the parent star's traits, astronomers can calculate the planet's mass, its density, and whether it falls in the habitable zone. Not all solar systems will be oriented in ways that allow the telescope to detect planet transits across the faces of stars, so Kepler's transit technique for picking out planets has dictated the large number of stars the telescope must monitor. Picking the targets, 100,000 sun-like stars, was no cakewalk. Astronomers spent 5 years methodically measuring traits of 4.5 million stars in Kepler's planned field of view. Out of the resulting 100,000 star catalog, Kepler scientists estimate that perhaps only 10% have planets with orbital periods short enough to allow for repeated detections within Kepler's 3.5-year primary mission length. Some 0.5% of the 100,000 stars are expected to reveal planets orbiting at Earth-like distances. So they're expecting to find about 500. That means that there is potential to find hundreds of Earth-like planets orbiting in that sweet spot. The solar systems range in distance from around 50 light-years away to some 3,000 light-years away. But finding planets at habitable distances from their suns does not alone a livable planet make. Missions to Mars, Jupiter, and its moons, and Saturn have yielded locations where simple forms of life might have gained a foothold and may still exist today. Jupiter and Saturn in particular fall outside the traditional habitable range of orbits. Solar system architecture is critical to habitability. They expect Kepler, as well as follow-up observations from ground-based telescopes, to reveal in more detail how planets are distributed in these new solar systems. Earth's moon, for instance, has stabilized Earth's tilt and limited the periodic wobble in Earth's spin. This reduces the extremes at which climate could change over periods ranging from seasons to geologic timescales. Our solar system's order of planets has led to regions such as the Kuiper Belt beyond Neptune or the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, where relics from the solar system's birth remain in relatively stable, tidy orbits. Without such shepherding, they could hurtle chaotically, boosting the risk of pummeling the rocky inner planets. As planetary scientists appear ready to step across their great divide, the scientists sum up the mood as, "It's quite an exciting time to be alive." And now the arena goes abroad. Today we go to Antarctica, so put on your heavy coats. This story from January 21st. Ignored satellite data show that Antarctica is heating up. Temperatures are warming throughout Antarctica, especially in winter and spring. The evidence contradicts studies showing that only the Antarctic Peninsula was warming, while the rest of the continent has cooled. The previous data has, in at least one case, fueled skepticism about global warming. The new study also reveals that western Antarctica may actually be warming faster than the Antarctic Peninsula. We can't say this with confidence, but our results at least hint that that may be the case. Previous papers had already hinted at warming in the eastern Antarctic. The Antarctic Peninsula, the farthest portion of the continent from the South Pole, has warmed faster than any other place in the world in the past 50 years, by some estimates as much as 4.5 degrees Fahrenheit. Such increases have caused dramatic ice shelf collapses. And for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, James Clayton Dobson, born 1936, and last week he turned 73 years old. James Dobson is an American evangelical Christian and founder and former chairman of the Board of Focus on the Family, a nonprofit organization he founded in 1977. He has never drawn a salary from the organization, but has used it to promote his related books and publications, yielding him royalties only for sales through other venues. As part of his role in the organization, he produces the daily radio program Focus on the Family, which is broadcast in more than a dozen languages and on over 7,000 stations worldwide, and heard daily by more than 220 million people in 164 countries. According to the organization's own statements, Focus on the Family is also carried by about 60 U.S. television stations daily. He founded the Family Research Council in 1981. He is an evangelical Christian with conservative views on theology and politics. He has been referred to as the nation's most influential evangelical leader by Time magazine, and Slate has termed him the successor to evangelical leaders Billy Graham, Jerry Falwell, and Pat Robertson. On January 24, 1989, he interviewed American serial killer Ted Bundy right before Bundy's execution. And now for the quote from James Dobson. "Those who control what young people are taught and what they experience, what they see, hear, think, and believe, will determine the future course for the nation."
Are you ready, Goose? Don Walker.